الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين عليه السلام. You heard heartbreaking descriptions of this day and especially these hours in the afternoon of Ashura. Now, I will, inshallah, recite for you some pieces of Maqtal, mainly taken from Kitab al-Irshad of Sheikh Mufid. Of course, to recite the whole Maqtal is very long, from the beginning to the end. It may take a couple of hours. So what I read here for you is an extremely summarized version of the Maqtal, just pointing to the most important events which happened on this day. The first thing that Imam Hussein did in the day of Ashura after prayer, after Fajr prayer, he came out and raised his hand to his Lord. Allahumma anta thiqati fi kulli karb wa raja'i fi kulli shiddah. My Lord, it is you in whom I trust amid all grief. You are my hope in all hardship. How many an affliction fell upon me in which the heart waned, the means diminished, the friends deserted, and the foes rejoiced, but I brought it to you. Your help alone I sought, and you had it off and comforted my heart. You are the source of all grace, the possessor of all good, and the ultimate resort of all desire. After the prayer, the army of Ibn Sa'd, fully prepared, moves forward with his cavalry, foot soldiers, and archers. Drums are beaten and army trumpets are blown. On the other side, the small band of Hussein's soldiers is standing in full preparation. After saying the prayer, Hussein rides his horse and goes to his army. Despite its small size, it's organized as a standard army with cavalry, foot soldiers, and archers. The right flank is committed to Zuhair with a cavalry of 16 men. The left flank is committed to Habib ibn Madahir, a same number of cavalry. The foot soldiers do not exceed 40 men. Hussein gives the standard to Abbas. The Kufan army is approaching in an imposing formation. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj is in command of the right flank. These are the people who all wrote letters to Imam Hussein to come to Kufa. Shamr is in command of the left. Urwa ibn Qais is in command of the cavalry. Shabath is commander of the foot soldiers, and Durayd carries the standard. Hussein has positioned his army with their tents at the rear in a semicircle formation. As the Kufan army comes forward, Shamr charges with his cavalry to attack Hussein from the back of the tents. Hussein and his men watch them approaching. They get closer with no visible reaction from Hussein's side. As they draw near, Hussein orders the firewood in the trenches to be set alight. Shamr and his men manage to stop and calm their scared horses down with some difficulty. As they find no way to penetrate Hussein's camp from behind, Shamr shouts at the top of his voice, "Hussein, you have rushed into the fire of the hell before the day of judgment." Hussein asks, "Who's that?" It sounds like Shamr. Habib says, "Yes, my lord, it is him." Hussein calls out, "You are more deserving of that, Shamr." Muslim ibn Awsajah sees Shamr within shooting range and takes his bow and targets him, but Hussein pushes his arrow down. Muslim ibn Awsajah says, "Let me shoot at him, my lord. He is a wicked criminal and a terrible tyrant. God has put him in our reach." Hussein replies, "No, I'm not willing to be the one who begins the fight." Shamr and his troops return towards the Kufan army. Hussein asks for his camel. Joan brings his camel to him and helps him to mount. Hussein goes towards the Kufan army, flanked by Habib ibn Mazahir and Burayr. Seeing him approaching, Umar ibn Sa'd orders the trumpets and drums to be silenced. Hussein draws close and is stopping just a few meters away from the army, calls out at the top of his voice, dissuading them from the battle, reminding them his position and his relation to the Prophet, peace be upon him. They do not pay heed to his voice. Hussein shouts, O Shabath ibn Rab'i, Hajjar ibn Abjar, Qais ibn Ash'ath, these are the commanders of the Umar ibn Sa'd's army. O Shabath ibn Rab'i, Hajjar ibn Abjar, Qais ibn Ash'ath, did you not write to me inviting me to come to you? Qais ibn Ash'ath replies, we do not know what you are talking about. Submit to the authority of Yazid. He will treat you the way you like. Hussein, disappointed from the response, shouts, by God, I will not give you my hand in humiliation, nor I flee from you like a fugitive. I say, as it is said in the Holy Book, I seek the protection of my Lord and your Lord from every conceited arrogant who does not believe in the day of reckoning. Hussein goes back and makes his mount kneel. Uqbat ibn Sam'an ties its rein. The drums start beating again, and the army continues advancing forward. Hur is visibly impressed by Hussein's speech. Accompanied by his friend Qurrat ibn Qais, he slowly moves towards Ibn Sa'd and asks, Ibn Sa'd, do you really mean to fight this man? Ibn Sa'd replies with unusual determination, yes, a battle that easiest of which will be falling of heads and flight of limbs. Hur replies, wouldn't what he has offered you meet your satisfaction? Umar ibn Sa'd replies, it would if the matter rested with me, but your Amir Ubaidullah has refused. Hur wants to say something, but foregoes and leaves. Qurra follows him. When they are some distance from the main army, Hur stops and says, Qurra, have you watered your horse today? Qurra replies, why do you ask? Just don't you want to water it? Qurra is surprised by his suggestion and asks, why do you want to leave the battle? Hur replies, I said, don't you want to water your horse? Qurra nods and understands his meaning. Yes, I was actually just about to do that. Qurra leaves. Hur stands alone, and after a few thoughtful moments, moves his horse slowly and hesitantly towards Hussein's camp. A dispatch of Ibn Sa'd's soldiers far ahead of the main army see Hur approaching. When Hur passes by them, their commander asks him, Hur, are you going to battle? Hur does not reply, but they notice that he's trembling. The commander continues, your behavior is surprising, Hur. I have never seen you act like this before. If I was ever asked who was the bravest of the Kufans, I would not have mentioned any name but yours. What is this shaking I see in you? Hur replies, I see my soul suspended between heaven and the hell. Then, as if talking to himself, he continues resolutely, and I will not choose anything unless it leads to paradise, even if I'm cut to pieces and burnt to ashes. He whips his horse and gallops over towards Hussein's camp. Hussein is sitting on his horse, flanked by a couple of his companions. They see Hur approaching. Hur comes close, stands before Hussein, drops his shield and his hood. He hesitates about what to say for a few moments and then speaks with a quivering voice. O grandson of the Prophet, may my soul be your ransom. I am the one who prevented you from going back. I forced you onto this route and made you camp in this barren place. But I never thought that these people would reject what you offered them or would take such a position against you. I swear by God, had I known they would end up treating you the way I see now, I would never have done what I did. He pauses for a while and then says, now I want to repent to God. For all that I've done, would there be any chance for repentance in this at all? Hussein smiles at him and replies, "Yes, may the Lord accept your repentance. Get down and have some rest." Hur replies, "I'm more useful on my horse, although eventually they will bring me down." Hussein replies, "Do as you wish. May God have mercy on you." Hur moves towards the camp to see for himself the horrific scenes of thirst and terrified women and children. All faces are dry and all lips blistery. Hur turns his rein and gallops resolutely towards Ibn Sa'd's army. They watch him getting closer with surprise. He stands at a good distance and shouts, "People of Kufa, may your mothers be deprived of their sons," and tears come to their eyes. "Have you invited this righteous man to your land? Then when he has come to you, you have handed him over to his enemies. Did you claim that you would protect him with your lives, and now you insist to kill him? You have laid hold of his life, you have seized his throat, you have encircled him on every side, preventing him to travel in God's land. You have prevented him, his children, his women folk, and his people to drink from the water of Euphrates, which all creatures freely drink. They are likely to die of thirst. How wickedly you have treated the offspring left by Muhammad. May God not give you water to drink on the day of thirst." A few archers from Kufa camp come forward and pelt him with arrows. He deflects them with his shield and goes back and stands in front of Hussein. Ibn Sa'd, angry of Hur's defection, yells at Durayd, "Durayd, bring forth the standards." Durayd is coming forth. Ibn Sa'd puts an arrow in his bow and shoots, shouting, "Be my witness before Ibn Ziyad that I shot the first arrow." Muslim ibn Awsaj goes before Hussein and says, "My lord, on behalf of all your companions, may I request a favor?" Hussein, "What favor?" Muslim replies, "That no man from the house of Prophet ever goes forth for battle before we all have ceased to exist. We very much hope that our request is granted so that our hearts rest assured that we have defended the family of our Prophet with the blood that runs in our hearts." Suddenly, a barrage of arrows darkens the air, and Ibn Sa'd's cavalry is mobilized. The archers of Hussein respond the shooting, but no one in any of the two camps is hurt. Abn ibn Hajjaj launches a fierce attack on the right flank of Hussein's troops. Habib commands his foot soldiers to go forth, and they manage to drive them back. Hur goes forth and asks Hussein, "My lord, do you allow me to go for single battle?" Hussein nods. Hur goes forth and stands before the Kufa troops and starts to brag, "Who would dare to be my match so that I drench the shaft of my spear in his blood?" A formidable man comes out and stands before him. "You brag too much while you deserve so little. I already smell your blood on the blade of my sword," says the formidable man. Hur engages with him and soon brings him down. Nafi ibn Hilal stands out and asks for a match. He also soon kills his contender. Another man comes out of Hussein's camp and asks for his match. However, angry and frustrated, Amr ibn Hajjaj shouts, "You stupid idiots, do you not realize who are you fighting with? These are knights of the town who have come here seeking death. Don't let anyone fight in single combat with them. There are only a few of them. You could finish them off even by throwing stones at them." Umar ibn Sa'd, hearing his cry, tells Durayd, "He is right. Get the message to all the commanders that none of their men should fight in single combat." Amr ibn Hajjaj launches another attack from the direction of the Euphrates. A fierce battle starts with the perseverance of the small right flank of Hussein against the enormous troops of Amr, held by more soldiers from the main army. Shamr is watching to see if the left flank of Hussein's troops would make a mistake by moving to support the right flank. However, Habib vigilantly stands in place with Shamr's troops under strict observation. In the heat of the battle, Muslim ibn Awsaj is struck down. Amr and his men eventually withdraw. When the dust settles, Hussein and his followers find Muslim stretched out, dying. Hussein dismounts and walks towards him, sits beside his head, removes dust and blood from his face, and says, "May God have mercy on you, Muslim. This is as is written in the book, 'Faminhum man qada nahbah, wa minhum man yantazir.' Of them are some who have fulfilled their pledge, and of them are some who still wait." Habib rushes to him and sits beside him with tears in his eyes. "Muslim, your death is hard for me to bear. Rejoice with the good news of heaven." Muslim replies with a very weak voice, "May God bring you good news too." Habib says, I would have liked to carry out all your wishes if I was not sure that I would follow you soon." Muslim points to Hussein and says, "I have only one wish. Do not make sure that you die before this man." Muslim dies with his head in Habib's hands. Shams charges against the left flank. Habib leaves Muslim and rushes towards his troops. In the ensuing fierce battle, Shams is forced to retreat. The cavalry under Urwat ibn Qais then attacks from all sides. Hussein's cavalry put him in the middle and defend him from all directions, even though there are only 32 men. They do not attack any side of the Kufan cavalry without putting it to flight. Seeing the flight of his men, Urwa shouts at his officers, "Where are the archers? Why doesn't Ibn Sa'd send in the archers?" Ibn Sa'd commands Ibn Numayr to move the archers. The battle continues with no respite. Huge number of archers move forth. Ibn Numayr and Harmala put them in array and order them to shoot. A rain of arrows pour down on Hussein's cavalry. Many men are hit and many horses are lamed. Hur loses his horse. He continues fighting on foot, but is soon overpowered and struck down. Since the arrows hit men from both sides, the Kufan army retreats. Hussein's army also goes back, taking their casualties with them. As they put Hur's body down, Hussein walks to him and sits by his side. His forehead is cleaved by the stroke of the sword. Hussein wipes his eyes and his eyebrows of blood and ties a green strap around his forehead. He kisses his head and whispers, "You were a free man as your mother named you, Hur." Watching the situation, Shem charges towards the camps with his troops. Zuhair attacks them with 10 horsemen and in a fierce engagement manages to drive them back. The archers go forward again and pelt Hussein's men with arrows. Many of Hussein's men are hit. While the battle is going, Hussein, who is watching the combat, turns his face upwards. The sun is in the middle of the sky. A companion of Hussein, seeing this, asks, "Shall I call the Adhan, my lord?" "Yes, may God have mercy on you," Hussein replies. The companion calls to the prayer. Upon hearing the voice of the Adhan, Hussein's troops gradually retreat. Hussein takes off his armor and puts on a clean white turban and orders Zuhair and Sayyid al-Hanafi to stand before him with half his troops. And he starts the prayer, leading the other half. Taking this as an opportunity, Ibn Sa'd orders his archers to move forward. Again, they hail Hussein and his troops with arrows. Most of the arrows are warded off by the shields put together by both cavalry and foot soldiers. However, some come down on the praying congregation. Seeing the danger, Sa'id moves quickly to stand before Hussein as a human shield. While he is doing this, the two halves of the group of Hussein's companions switch places so that those who have not prayed have a chance to pray behind Hussein. Arrows start to fall close to Hussein. Sa'id wards off any shot coming at Hussein by his hands, arms, and body. He's hit several times, but struggles to continue standing as a shield. As Hussein finishes his prayer, Sa'id falls in his hands. His body is pierced by arrows. Hussein carries him in his arm and lays his body beside the other martyrs. Hussein's troops line up again. Hussein rides his horse and goes to stand in their midst. Abbas ibn Shabib comes out of the line and stands before Hussein. "My lord, will you allow me to go for single battle?" Hussein nods. Abbas goes forth and calls for a contender. But they don't fight single combat. No one moves forward. Abbas discards his shield and shouts, "Come forth, I have no shield. Isn't there a single man among you cowards brave enough to fight a soldier without a shield?" As he receives no reply, he starts to take off all his armor as well. "Come forth, you chickens!" As he still receives no reply, he charges forward into the troops. He puts on a formidable fight, killing and maiming many before he is struck down. Then Joan comes and stands before Hussein. "My Lord, do you allow me to go for combat?" Hussein replies, "You have come here to serve us. You are not expected to fight Joan." Tears come to Joan's eyes. "You mean I'm not noble enough to have the honor of fighting before you and protecting your king from these vile people?" Hussein hugs him and they clasp each other firmly. Joan leaves. Hussein mounts his horse and stands in line with the members of his family. There are 18 men and none of the companions are left with them. Joan fights bravely and falls after striking down several men. Abbas and Ali Akbar rush and disperse enemy troops to let others bring his body back. Now that all companions of Hussein are killed, Ali Akbar goes and stands before his father. "Father, do you allow me now to go and fight?" Hussein says firmly, "Go, my son." Ali Akbar turns and trots towards the enemy. As he distances from his father, Hussein turns to the sky with a tearful eye. "Oh, my exalted, incomparable Lord, you are the greatest witness that they are now fighting a noble youth who alone among all men is closest to your prophet in his speech and talk and in behavior, character, and even his walk. His beautiful face and superlative manners were so that whenever I suffered from missing the holy prophet, I set my gaze on him to console my heart." Ali Akbar stands before the Kufans and draws his sword, saying, "I am Ali, son of the noblest of all men, Hussein, who's closer to the prophet than anyone else on the earth plane. I swear that so long as my hands can hold a sword, I will defend my father against you, ignoble horde." He then immediately charges. Wherever he attacks, he scatters the Kufans, but he takes innumerable wounds himself. To take a respite, he breaks the circle of Kufans around him and rides back to his father. Standing before him, he says panting, "Father, the thirst is killing me, and the burden of the heavy armor is hampering me. Is there any chance of just a sip of water?" Hussein starts crying. "Just go, my son. It's only for a little while. You will soon visit your grandfather, and he will quench your thirst. Go." Ali Akbar gallops back to the battlefield. He fights until he is hit by a spear in his side. He falls on the horse's neck, whose own face is hit by a sword and who therefore cannot find his way out of the enemy's siege. While the horse is struggling, every Kufan strike a sword at Ali Akbar. He's torn to shreds and falls from his horse, whereupon the Kufans leave him. Hussein rushes towards him with a group of his men. While the others take guard, Hussein dismounts and sits by Ali Akbar's body, his eyes full of tears. He puts Ali Akbar's head on his lap and wipes blood from his eyes. He then kisses his forehead and puts his cheek on Ali's and saying, weeping, "May God show no mercy to those who killed you. How foolhardy they are against the Lord in violating the sanctity of the prophet." He then raises his head and looks at Ali's body. "May dust cover the world after you. Alad dunya ba'dak al-afa." Hussein's attention is distracted towards Zainab, who's hurrying towards them crying, "My dear one, my nephew, my dear one, my brother." She throws herself on the dead body of Ali Akbar and weeps. Hussein waits for a few moments and then raises her head and he leads her back to the tent. On his way, he requests the young men of his family, saying, "Bring your brother back." As they bring Ali Akbar's horse back, the battle continues at the front. An arrow is shot and Abdullah ibn Muslim ibn Aqil is hit. He tries to deflect it with his hand, but the arrow sews his hand to his forehead. A spear comes hurling in an attack, piercing his heart and killing him while he is unable to defend himself. And other members of Hussein's family are then attacked. Abbas fights valiantly but cannot stop his relatives falling one after another. In the heat of the battle, Oun and Ja'far, sons of Zainab, are killed. Zainab watches but does not move from her place. Eventually, after many are killed, Abbas and his brothers manage to drive the army back. They gather around Hussein. They are the only ones together that are at the front. Qasim and Abdullah, sons of Hassan, and a few others of Hussein kings are further back in position. The Kufans attack again with a large dispatch. Abbas asks his brother to go and ward them, his brothers to go and ward them off. The trio go and make a magnificent fight, managing to drive the enemy back. They are, however, eventually surrounded and killed. Qasim ibn Hassan, who is on foot, goes forward and says, "Uncle, do I have your permission?" Hussein dismounts and looks at him for a while. Qasim's face is shining, although his lips are blistered with thirst. Hussein caresses his hair and smells it. Tears come to his eyes. "The fragrance of my brother Hassan," he says. "Can I go, uncle?" says Qasim. Hussein replies, "But how could I let you? You cannot even wear a piece of armor." Qasim replies, "It doesn't matter. Did you not tell me last night that I could also become a martyr?" Hussein replies eventually, "Yes, but I cannot let you go. Please, uncle, please, how can I live after you?" They hug and cry. Hussein reluctantly lets go of Qasim and nods his permission. Qasim smiles and leaves. Hussein walks a few steps after him, as if trying to hold him back. Qasim goes forth and stands before the foot soldiers. He's wearing only a shirt, a waistcloth, and a pair of sandals, one of whose strap is broken. He shouts, "Just in case you don't know me, I am Qasim, a branch of Hassan, the grandson of the Prophet. Shame on you, this is Hussein among you, like a captive held hostage in this desolate desert." While he's talking, one of the horsemen says to his fellow combatant, "Who is this boy? I will make his mother mourn for him." His companion replies, "Why, he's just a child. Why do you want his blood on your hands?" He replies, "He's just some brazen, loud-mouthed kid." Meanwhile, Qasim has started fighting with one of the foot soldiers. The horseman charges towards him and, passing by him from the back, strikes his head with his sword. Qasim is knocked down, shouting, "Uncle!" Hussein gallops towards him in an instant and attacks the horseman and strikes him with sword. The man tries to fend off the blow with his arm, but his arm is sliced off at the blow. He gives out a loud shriek, which is heard by the soldiers in his camp. They charge forward to save him, but in the ensuing battle, he's trampled to death under horses' hooves. A large dust cloud covers the whole scene. As it clears, Hussein is seen sitting over Qasim's body. Qasim is rubbing his feet against the ground in pain. Caressing Qasim's face, Hussein says in tears, "May God withdraw his mercy from those who killed you. Their complainant on the day of judgment will be your grandfather." Qasim utters with a very weak voice, "Uncle." Hussein replies, "Oh, it's hard for your uncle that you call him." And he did not answer. Or rather, he answered, but he could not save you. "For my God, his enemies are too many and his helpers are few." Hussein lifts Qasim in his arms and brings him back and puts him beside his son's body, Ali Akbar. He throws a glance at the bodies of all his young relatives. Then he goes and stands in front of the army and shouts, "Is no one out there to protect the women of the family of the Prophet?" "Isn't there anyone to fear God regarding us?" In the army of Ibn Sa'd, some cast their heads down while the smile of victory covers the other faces. Hussein, intent to go to the battle, goes to Zainab and says, "Bring me my little boy to bid him farewell." Zainab brings Ali Asghar and gives it to Hussein. Hussein fondles Ali's parched lips with his finger, then hopelessly tries to get some saliva from his own mouth to rub on his lips. Then he lifts him up to kiss his cheek, but no sooner a three-pronged arrow hits his throat. Blood splashes on Hussein's face. Zainab rushes towards Hussein and holds Ali. Hussein helplessly watches blood gushing out of Ali's throat. He holds his hands under Ali's throat. His hand gets filled with blood. Hussein looks at it for a while and then throws it up to the sky and shouts, "My Lord, what makes all my calamities easy for me is that you are watching." If you have withdrawn the help of heaven from us, let it be so, for your purpose is better than immediate help. He then takes Ali from Zainab and brings him to where other bodies are lying, cuddling and caressing him. He leaves him to rest there. While other children are watching, Hussein looks at their parched lips and faces. He then goes to Abbas resolutely and says, Abbas, let's go and get some water. Abbas nods in happy agreement. Hussein and Abbas ride their horses in full armor, each with his water skin on his shoulder. They start at a fleeting gallop towards the river. The guards are alarmed and form a thick line to meet them. Hussein and Abbas fiercely hit their lines. The battle is so intense that Ibn Sa'd sends more troops, including archers, to help Amr ibn Hajjaj. Amr ibn Hajjaj shouts, force them apart, force them apart. You cannot win so long as they are together. Hussein and Abbas resist parting, but eventually the troops create distance between them. Abbas moves close to the river, and Hussein is held back. The fighting continues until an arrow sits in Hussein's chin and forces him to withdraw while Abbas is moving forward. Hussein goes and stands at a distance, and while watching Abbas's advancements, plucks the arrow out. Blood gushes out from his chin. Hussein ties the wound with a piece of cloth. Abbas, blooded by his wounds, rides his horse into the river and quickly dismounts. Instinctively, he fills his palm with water and brings them close to his mouth. However, catching sight of Hussein's thirsty face, he pours the water back. And deflecting arrows with his shield, he fills his water skin after a fashion. No one dares to go close to him. He then rides his horse and emerges from the river. Looking at the thick lines of Kufan troops in front of him, he decides to take a diversion towards the palm trees, which seems to be longer but free of troops. Galloping with full speed, he fights his way through, striking with his sword any soldier who dares to block his way. A group of riders are guarding the area of the palms. Arriving at the palm trees, Abbas pauses for a few seconds, looking around and inspecting the area. He then chooses a route and rushes through. As he passes by the trees, one of the horsemen suddenly jumps out and strikes his right hand with his sword. The arm is severed and drops down, followed by the water skin. Abbas manages to grab the water skin with his left hand and puts it round his neck. He pauses for a moment, panting and bleeding. He shouts, even if you have cut off my right hand, I'm going to support Hussein so long as I live. He is the grandson of your prophet, you traitors. Abbas starts riding again at full speed, swerving to avoid further ambushes. A couple of new ambushes are unsuccessfully launched against him, but he cannot escape the third one, in which his left arm is sliced off. Abbas pauses again. He can see the camps, but he is considerably weakened and hardly able to spur his horse on. The horse circles for a couple of rounds before Abbas manages to control it with his knees. He starts looking straight towards the camps again. However, disappointment stops him as he watches the arrows landing in the water skin. As the water flows on his body, he loses his hope. Suddenly, a two-pronged arrow hits his eyes. His horse whinnies loudly and circles around. A soldier charges at him and strikes him on the head with a long mace, causing him to fall from his horse. Hussein rushes to him. Looking at the nearly mutilated body of his brother, he cries out loud. He plucks the arrow from his brother's eyes and kisses him, hugs and embraces him. An uproar of joy is heard from the Kufan army. Ibn Sa'd and his retinue watch Hussein taking the reins of his horse, and while still crying, he leaves Abbas. Hussein, now completely broken, returns to the camp, holding his horse behind. The left flank of Ibn Sa'd's army moves. Hussein rises again and joins the three members of his family who are still alive. They set out towards the left wing. A fierce battle forces the troops back, but only after the three companions of Hussein are killed. Hussein returns to his camp lonely, to catch some breath. Now he has Now he has to single-handedly challenge the 30,000 troops of Kufans. Zainab, Sukaina, Rubab, and others. Women come out of the tents. They go and stand before Hussein, trying hard to control their tears. Hussein dismounts and tells them, "You are going to have hard times after me. You will see things much worse than what you saw today. I want to be firm. I want you to be firm." Durayd, carrying the standard, goes to Ibn Sa'd and asks, "What is the command?" Ibn Sa'd replies, "Tell Shabbas to move the foot soldiers and take the camps." The trumpets begin to blow and drums are beaten and the imposing foot soldiers move. Hussein mounts his horse and puts on his hood and draws his sword. No one is outside the tents now except Zainab. The troops have drawn closer. Hussein takes a deep breath and charges forward with lightning speed, chanting, "Al-Maut, Ola min Rukub al-Ari, wal-Ar, Ola min Dukhul al-Nari. Ana al-Hussein ibn Ali, alaytu Allah adthani, ahmi iyalat abi, amzi ala din al-Nabi. I am Hussein ibn Ali. I have sworn that I would not give in to you. I will protect the women folk of my grandfather myself." He hits the battery of foot soldiers like a thunderstorm, smashing them from every side. The foot soldiers retreat. Hussein returns and stands in his original position near his camp. Catching his breath, he says, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." The cavalry from the left flank moves towards his camps. Hussein charges towards the left flank, chanting, "أنا ابن علي الطهر من آل هاشمي كفاني بهذا مفخرا حين أفخروا وجدي رسول الله أكرم من بشر ونحن سراج الله في الناس يزارو." Again he hits hard and puts up an enormous battle. The troops run away from him from all directions. Seeing his way open, he rides towards the river. As he fights his way towards the water, the right flank of the Kufan troops move towards his camp. Catching sight of his, he quickly returns and shouts at Shemr, "Shemr, if you have no faith and do not fear the hereafter, at least have integrity of character in your life." "What do you want, son of Ali?" said Shemr. "Why are you going to my camps? Fight me so long as I am alive." Shemr replies with his devilish smirk, "You are granted that." They charge towards him, but he puts them into flight again and returns to his elevated place, piece of land, to catch some breath. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The thirst makes him see everything blurred and smoky. He utters his favorite chant with a dry tongue. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hussein launches another attack, chanting, "Fatimu Zahra ummi wa abi قاسم الكفر ببدر بورين فأبي شمس وأمي قمر وأنا الكوكب وابن القمرين." This time, before reaching the enemy lines, a hail of arrows comes to him. He deflects some with his shield, but is hit by some others. He engages with the troops while his back has started to resemble like a hedgehog due to many arrows sticking out of it. The troops are dispersed, but the bleeding has consumed Hussein's energy. He stops, surrounded by the troops. From a height, Zainab is watching the battle with great concern. A spearman rides towards Hussein and charges his spear into his side. As Hussein begins to fall from his horse, he utters, "Bismillah wa billah wa fi sabilillah." Hussein lands on the hard ground, but immediately gets up. He fends off a couple of attacks using his sword, but the horseman hits him hard on the shoulder, causing him to fall again. Zainab cries and moves forward. Hussein is now surrounded by a huge number of soldiers. All of them are trying to strike him with whatever weapon they have. Hussein's horse, Dhul Jinnah, struggles out of the crowd and gallops towards the camps as if calling for help. Suddenly, Abdullah ibn al-Hasan dashes towards his uncle, shouting and crying, "Leave him! Leave my uncle alone!" Zainab jumps towards him to hold him back, but he struggles himself free from her. Zainab weeps and shouts, "No, Abdullah, please don't go." She watches helplessly as Abdullah winds his way towards the crowd, and when after a short while his dead body is thrown out. Zul-Jalal, his saddle dangling upside down, goes to the camp and circles the tent, gnawing. The women come out of their tent and seeing Zul-Jalal with inverted saddle, start weeping. The horse galloped back to the battlefield. The women hug each other and weep. After a short while, the horse comes back with his face covered in blood. The women circle around him and cry, but soon they are dispersed as the Kufan troops attack the camps and set fire to the tents.